This first class in the course. In each of these classes, we'll deal with three subject matters: argumentation, speaking, and diction. Now, in this class, I'll give an introduction first for all of these three subject matters. Let's begin with argumentation. Now, you've got a handout sheet which gives some quotations from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arguing, how he argued with various philosophers and so on. The point of these quotations, or the reason that I'm giving them out, is to show that logic and argument are necessary. These are tools that a devotee uses to spread the Sankirtana movement, to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, another point of these quotations is to indicate that Lord Chaitanya didn't get puffed up by his logical abilities. He didn't become infatuated, carried away with his great powers of argument. He remained very humble and meek, and we should follow in the footsteps of the Lord. At the same time, we should be very careful not to let the mental and intellectual joys of argument carry us away. Argument does have its limits. And if we simply become absorbed in playing with arguments, then we lose our focus in devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. In the Mahabharata, it said, "Tarko Pratishta." The truth is not established simply by argument. The truth is actually established by Vedic knowledge. Achinchakalu ye bhava tatams tarkina yoja ye. Mundane arguments can't touch transcendental subject matters, so one shouldn't try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane arguments. We have to understand everything by devotional service to the Lord and to the spiritual master. And by the grace of the Lord and the grace of the spiritual master, we'll be able to understand everything nicely, and we'll get the capability, the potency, to persuade others of the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. Another point here is that we should be careful not to become too much attracted to many different kinds of books dealing with different arguments and different philosophies. Sometimes if someone would become carry around the whole library of books, Srila Prabhupada would say that he was an ass, because the ass also carries big, heavy burdens. There's a quotation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion that those who are attracted to studying many kinds of literature concerning various subject matters, especially fruitive activities and philosophical speculation, are deprived of unalloyed devotional service because of their splayed attention. We should be careful not to splay our attention. We should undertake this course only for the sake of service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you're indeed serious about logic and argument, apply them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our purpose. Now, just as we close here, I can recall for us some of the instances where Lord Chaitanya showed his powers of argument. There was the incident where the Lord had a dispute with his mother about the difference between eating sweets and eating clay, where Lord Chaitanya claimed that there was no difference, imitating the Mayavadi philosophers. But he was defeated in argument by his mother, who Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, after all, was the wife of a pundit. Another incident, or another description we get from the biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, is that in his childhood, he would argue with his friends, and he'd establish a conclusion so strongly that no one could defeat it, and then defeat it so that no one could establish it, and then establish it again so that no one could defeat it. So in this way, the Lord showed his great argumentative skills. The Lord argued with Keshav Kashmiri on the banks of the Ganges and with the Kaji about the Sankirtan movement and the Koran. The Lord argued with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and with Prakashananda Saraswati regarding the Mayavad philosophy. And he also argued with the leader of the Patan Vaishnavas concerning the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the Koran. Finally, the Lord argued with the leader of the Buddhist philosophers and converted the Buddhists to Krishna consciousness. So in this course, we'll try to improve our ability to think and argue clearly, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right, now on to speaking. I'd like to introduce the speaking portion of this course with a few words about introductions. We're often called upon to give introductions for speakers at temple programs or what have you, and quite often we do it badly. Here's a typical introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, we were hoping to have Hridayananda Goswami here to speak with us today. Somehow or other, he wasn't able to come, but we're very fortunate to have with us one of Srila Prabhupada's very first disciples. He's certainly an exceptional devotee, very sincere and dedicated, learned scholar, very interesting speaker. As Srila Prabhupada's editor, he single-handedly edited all of Srila Prabhupada's books, and for many years he was the editor-in-chief of our ISKCON magazine, Back to Godhead. He has traveled all over America, lecturing at colleges and universities, and we're very fortunate to have him with us here today. So I hope you'll all give him your full and proper attention. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great privilege to introduce Jayadeva Swami. Now, a major point to note about this introduction is that most of it is just fluff, vagaries. He's really a nice guy, he's a swell scholar, and he's learned and traveled everywhere. There's nothing specific, nothing that you couldn't say about anybody else in the room. And then when there is something specific, it's wrong. I wasn't one of Srila Prabhupada's very first disciples. I didn't single-handedly edit his books, and for many years I wasn't the editor of Back to Godhead. So I didn't travel all around America lecturing in colleges. This is all hype. That doesn't serve the purpose very well. So to give introductions, we recommend that first just take a few minutes before the program, and if you don't know very much about the speaker, that's all right, ask him. Maharaj, could you tell me a little bit about your career in devotional service, or a few words that I could, a few points that I could talk about to the audience. You don't need a lot, just a few points, and you'll have something real that you can say. Introductions, properly given, are conducive to submissive oral reception, so they should be standard procedure at temple programs, Sunday feasts, outside engagements, and so on. Speakers shouldn't have to just sit down unknown to the audience. Even if he's known, he deserves a few words of introduction. The most important, or a most important point I might make about introductions, or let's give a few points here. The cliches should be avoided. It's my great privilege to introduce. We're very fortunate to have here today. I hope you'll all give your full attention. These pieces of machinery are unnecessary. Just tell us a story about the speaker, something about your relationship with him, or a few words about his qualifications. There's no need of cliches that don't tell us anything and just waste time. Speak clearly, relax, prepare beforehand, and when you finally do speak, speak briefly. All right, on to diction. In each class, we'll add a little spice to the course by speaking something about the entertaining diction that we often find within ISKCON. In the Bible, to go a little afield, it said, "By their speech ye shall know them." The words that we use, or the locutions that we use, are class flags. Intentionally or unintentionally, they tell the audience something about our background, our education, who we are. If I get up and I say, "Well, we got some really far out kind of things to talk about. We got a speaker who's really on a trip, and it's going to blow your mind when you hear about him." I'm telling you something not only about what's going to happen, but about my own educational and cultural background. You want your words to get people to think of your message and not be distracted from it. You want people to have faith in your words. Now, another point is that often in ISKCON, we use a kind of stock language which can mask fuzzy thinking. For example, we have that ubiquitous term, fried. Prabhu, I'm really fried. Now, what exactly does that tell me? It doesn't tell me anything. What does it mean that you're fried? Well, I don't know, I'm just fried, you know what I mean? Are you frustrated? Tired? Bored? Discouraged? Sexually agitated? Confused? Angry? No, I'm just fried, you know? So, in this way, stock words fuzz up our thinking. And if we can clarify our expression, we can also clarify our thought. In the Krishna book, there's one prayer where a devotee says to the Lord, "The words that we use to distinguish one thing from another are in fact only representations of you." In Bhagavad Gita, Shabda K, the words in the ether are Krishna. Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka, the person praised by selected words. Diction, in fact, means the selection and usage of words in writing or speaking. So these words, these sounds, are Krishna's energy. And like everything else that belongs to Krishna, they should be handled carefully and used nicely in Krishna's service. To give a little further idea about why we have to talk about this, here are some wild monstrosities from Srimad Bhagavatam classes. Here's one. "So I feel myself personally that this sort of thing is incredulous to a devotee. I want to put the cart before the horse and say that we should wait until we are in a better financial predicament before we can financially help pay for it." Or here's another one. "Like I repeated before, we must remain internally indebted. More than two people have approached me with bodies totally emaciated, concerned that devotees should not become divided into fractions." Or another. "Therefore, speaking off the top of the cuff, we must try to aspire to avoid an astigma in the mind. Thus we can be elevated to a deeper understanding, and our success is reassured. After all, devotees are not normal personalities, and we have to be careful how we deal with them." The devotee who sent me these three examples writes, "I have collected these actual quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam lectures and compiled them for the sake of prosperity." Please be careful. Please be careful with your diction.